Good morning. The reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. And this is Paul and his brother Timothy, his brother in Christ, Timothy, writing to the faithful in Colossus. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I'm hopeful, and I am sure that all of you have plans for a good week. Those of you who are in school don't have to go the whole week. And that makes it a good week any way you look at it. And it's rivalry week, I'm told. And that is a lot of fun for some people. All over America, people will gather to share a feast and celebrate the blessings of life. And there is, of course, much to be thankful about. Each one of us should have a list in our minds this time of year. There may be some things on that list that weren't there last year, and there might be some things that were that are not there this year. But I will let you keep your own list. I would like just to make mention of a few things. One thing to say is that it is good to be alive. Now, this might not sound like it's saying much, but it is. As a matter of fact, I'm impressed by the very first page of the Bible saying over and over at the end of each day, "And it was good," which was a way of saying to all of us from the start, it's good to be alive. And it's good to be alive in this world. It's good to be healthy and strong enough to experience life's beauty and its wonders and its pleasures. It's good to have at least some means with which to enjoy them. We are thankful for the beauty of nature, for the sustenance of food and shelter, and all of the others of life's necessities, which sometimes we forget that we have been given. We are thankful for meaningful work, for family, and for friends, because without such things, we would struggle to conclude that it is good to be alive. And we are thankful because of the larger communities of which we are a part. We know that our families, our church, our community, our country has been a place where we have been able to thrive and do well. We know that in some places, for some people, there is a greater threat of war or violence than what we have known, where the communities are in greater disarray, where the systems that provide life's necessities have broken down. There is suffering. And I'm not saying that we are thankful that we're not in one of those situations, because that seems to be the wrong point to take. But I think it is safe to say that most of us would agree that we have been cared for, and we are thankful for the care that we have been given. And it is right that gratitude should be our response. So let me suggest one more thing about gratitude in general that I think is helpful, and that is that this attitude of the heart, which acknowledges the goodness of things, which acknowledges it when we have been taken care of, does not necessarily have to be nurtured. There are some who don't nurture it. And maybe I would say that some of us from time to time don't nurture it very well. Life has hardships, and it sometimes is tempting to focus on the hardships, and that affects our general mood. Thankfulness is uplifting. Self-pity drags us down, even when it's justified. Maybe even particularly when it's justified. We have choices about these attitudes, and given the choice to stew over life's hardships and complain, or reflect on life's blessings and give thanks, it is better to give thanks. Not just once a year, but daily, all throughout the year. You'll actually feel better. That has been my experience. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But there is one more thing. Our text from Colossians is from Colossians this morning, and in it, Paul contrasts what he calls the kingdom of light with the dominion of darkness. I suppose that when he proclaims the victory of the kingdom of light, we could simplify things by saying that in addition to the other things on our list, we are thankful for the salvation that we have been given. And I suppose I could leave it there and we could go rake leaves. But if I may, let me suggest that we look at things at least a little bit deeper. One of the intellectual or ideological components of the biblical thought is known as apocalypticism, and that is a word that I am sure that you've heard before, because if it's not one that you've heard in church, you've seen it in movies, Apocalypse Now and all other kinds of things. Part of what that means is that there is a belief in a cosmic struggle between good and evil, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And this idea has never been far from the popular mind. I think of movies themselves, because movies are the storytelling medium of our age. And I think of Star Wars, and that's what Star Wars is about. And I think of The Lord of the Rings, and that's what The Lord of the Rings is about. And I think of all those Marvel and comics and whatever the others are, with the superheroes and Batman and Superman and all the rest. They reflect not only the belief in this cosmic struggle, but our fascination with it. And maybe even sometimes they reflect our frustration that in order to be able to feel good about it, we have to go to the movie theater and watch somebody act out the victory. I'm not sure what Paul would say about these movies, but I think that when he mentions these things, the kingdom of light and the dominion of darkness, he's at least speaking in the direction of this struggle. This is a struggle that is experienced individually. And in another text that Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, which I'm sure that you're familiar with, he writes very passionately about how he struggles to do the good he knows he ought to do, but can't. And how he struggles to avoid the evil that he knows he ought not to do, but he can't seem to avoid it. All of us know about this internal struggle. We are at war within between the desire to love and the tendency to hate. Between the realization that we must be concerned with the meeting of our own basic needs. And we must be. But on the other hand, we know that we must also be concerned about others and trying to strike the right balance, because the temptation is to be selfish, or should I say, self-ish, to emphasize, overly concerned with our own well-being. It's a struggle. And we are at war within, between the acknowledgement of this great threat to our own being, which is sin and death, and the fear that arises from it, the anxiety level that rises up. And on the other hand, our desire for inner peace, for joy. The temptation is to become angry and selfish and afraid, which work against our desire for joy and love and peace. But this struggle is also seen on a larger scale, and Paul's language here in Colossians sort of points us in that direction. We think of our life together with all the communities that we are a part of, whether small groups like our families, and sometimes even in our families there is strife, or larger ones like the country we live in or the whole human family. And we see trouble all around. Of course, one can hardly be awake and miss the unrest and dissatisfaction in our political life, which has caused people to not talk to one another, because if they did, they would probably start arguing. And who knows where that would lead. And the more one pays attention, the more one sees combustible situations that might burst forth into flames and could be catastrophic. And sometimes we wonder if it is even possible to be at peace personally in a world that's not. And I would be amiss not to mention the environmental threat. Even though people disagree about it, the threat looms, and it seems like every time we turn around, there's another disaster somewhere. And when disaster happens, what we do is we take up one great hour of sharing offerings, pray for the people, and then forget about them for the most part until the next disaster comes, without realizing that the people who suffered one disaster live in the aftermath of it for years. It's a struggle. Not to mention illnesses like cancer and heart disease, like depression and various kinds of psychosis and addiction, and other problems too numerous to name that don't seem to just attack individuals, but they attack the whole society. I suppose that if one does not relate very well to the idea of a cosmic showdown between good and evil, at least we might agree that if there is at least a shadow, a cloud hanging over all of life, and the burden is stressful. And no one escapes the burden, not even the people who have largely been victorious over the struggle in their person, in their inner life. Even those who are in denial about it or just don't want to discuss it live under it. It is a cloud that casts a shadow over everything, even on the sunniest of days. I think it's good for us to understand that things aren't really that different now from other times in history. I don't think the Bible would be relevant to us at all if 2,000 years ago they couldn't use the same language to describe their world and their experience of life as we use to describe ours. And that's what makes St. Paul's prayer for the Colossians and for us so powerful. Paul prays that we might be strengthened with all power and have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks because we have been rescued, redeemed, forgiven. The whole message of the Bible, written to people who had been conquered and who had been oppressed, who had suffered the worst, is that in this cosmic struggle, a great victory has been won. And that's the way it's put. Has been won. Even though as we play out the years, it sometimes seems like there is no victory. There is. And we have all been caught up in it. I am sure that the original recipients of Paul's letters, who were by no means the rich and powerful of their times, often felt it was a certain kind of nonsense to speak of such a victory. My suspicion is that that's the reason why he kept telling them. But that victory was and still is the message of the gospel. And there is a great deal of power involved in believing it. As a matter of fact, we're told that our faith is the key that unlocks the door. There is a healing power. There is an encouraging power. But there's also an understanding power that when we come under the influence of this grace that we accept by faith, we're able to come to see things clearly, at least better, in this world of chaos and confusion. And there is a strengthening power. The early believers, they found this victory and this power in Jesus, and not just in His person. His compassion, His kindness, His love, and His wisdom. But they found this victory in His death, which was about as low a death as a person can die in this world, as a rejected criminal. But it is actually in His death that they saw this triumph because they saw the presence of God in it. And that's the meaning of Paul's words when he says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." Unless we get confused that when God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him was perhaps at one of His greater times, like when He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount or casting out demons or feeding 5,000 people. Paul goes on, "And through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." Which is Paul's way of saying that there is never more a time in the life of Jesus when God's presence shone through Him than when He was on the cross. So when it comes to gratitude, we are thankful for the victory of the kingdom of light too, in addition to all the other things. And that, our redemption, is worth being thankful for. It's worth mentioning. Because of this triumph and our faith in it, we are called in this Colossians text to lead lives worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened towards endurance and patience and joyful thanks. And it's the same old story. We are not good in order to be saved. We are good because we have been saved. Everything grows out from that one central feature of our lives. So when you look upon your life, as sometimes I do mine, or upon this world, remember this victory, that in Christ it has already been won, lest we become discouraged, lest we allow evil to overcome good in our own hearts, or succumb to some apparent defeat to the dominion of darkness in this world, Paul tells us, that God has saved. There is no such defeat, even when it most seems like it. Because out of those defeats comes the power and strength of God to save. Happy Thanksgiving. Shall we pray? Lord, we do ask that you would make us mindful of all the wonderful gifts you've given to us. Make us mindful of the times when we are in distress and we have felt your presence abiding with us. Help us to understand and see that life is good and that you have cared for us and redeemed us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our song of dedication is In the Faith We Sing, and it's number 2176. Make Me a Servant. Shall we stand in together and sing? As we anticipate the joy of Thanksgiving that we celebrate with our families and friends this week, bless us, abide with us, strengthen and encourage us, and give us joy. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.